How many of you brought your Bibles? Hold them up. I believe this is the inspired Word of God. How about you? Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our dear, kind Heavenly Father, this morning we've come to worship You. And so we're asking for the Holy Spirit to come, to guide us, direct us, and lead us. So open our hearts that we may be in tune with You. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I'd like to invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Revelation. I'd like to go to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. Now we know Revelation 13, right? What's Revelation chapter 13 all about? Well, the second half of it is, that's right. Okay, the beast of the sea and the beast of the land. And so we know and understand what that first beast is and talking about the persecution that took place during the Dark Ages. But in the second beast found in verse 11, notice what it says, Revelation chapter 13 and verse 11. And I beheld another what? Beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a what? A dragon. It's interesting you begin to look at this, because if you do the studies, a beast without a doubt represents a nation. In the closing of the first beast was 1798. And so now you have the rise of another beast, a beast that comes out of nowhere, comes out from innocency, comes out from an area that is not populated, around the year 1798, and just stop and think for a moment, what country could that be? Really, if you do the study, you can only find that it's one country that fits that, and that's the United States of America. Now, I praise God for the United States of America, amen? I praise God for the freedom that I have to be able to worship God according to the dictates of my conscience. And we ought to take advantage of that. Amen? The thing that troubles me is that verse finishes, it had two horns like a lamb, and it spake as a what? A dragon. Now, who's the dragon? Come on. It's the devil. Satan. So stop and think for a moment. This wonderful country that we love so much, and that we enjoy all these freedoms from, at some point is going to speak as a dragon. Now, how does any nation speak? Through its laws. That's absolutely right. Through its laws. Well, let's continue to read. Jump down with me to verse 14. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make a what? Image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. If we were to go back and look, we'd find that the strength of the first beast was the uniting of church and state, where the church could use the laws to be able to enforce its religious mandates. So now we come to this second beast, and we find at some point in time, the encouragement is to make an image of the beast. So what you have is you now have a time when together religion and politics come back together and unite. Now notice it goes on. Verse 15, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be what? Killed. And he caused us all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man may buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now, I don't necessarily like that message, because I like freedom. Amen? But the Bible tells us there's coming a time when this country we love so much is going to enforce religious worship. And by enforcing religious worship, it's not going to enforce it to worship God. It's going to enforce it to worship the dragon. Right? That's what the Bible says. Which means everything that is for God is going to be thrown out the window, and everything that opposes God will be brought in. And in the, under the banner of Christianity and under the banner of religion, it will be brought in so that we can take in and be enforced or forced to be able to follow what the laws say, or what? Be killed. Now that's not a pleasant experience, is it? Not a pleasant idea, not a pleasant message. But I believe the Bible is true. And I believe you can take it to the bank when the Bible says it's going to happen, it will happen. Praise God, it hasn't happened yet. Amen? But I'll tell you what, there's blue laws on the books already that many are just not enforced. So it's not really an out of the reasonable thought to think that they could overnight enforce those laws. It's not like they'd have to go through a great big old process to be able to make it happen. And so I look at this and I say, wow, the persecution is going to come. I want to tell you a story about Prisoner 42. Prisoner 42 was a young lady that had a husband and 2-3 children. Things were tough in North Korea, and so she went across the borders and went into China and was trying to find food. And she met some nice people there, some Christians there, and she hung out with the Christians and she got some food. And she was going to try and take some back, and she got picked up by the Chinese government, the army. They put her in jail for 2 weeks. Then they found out who she was, and they transported her back across and delivered her to the agency in North Korea. What they did is they took her to this women's prison. They stripped her, searched her, shaved her head, and put her in a cell. Now this cell isn't like what we, you know, when we think of prisons today, you go into our North American prisons, they have a fairly good sized cell, they have cable TV, not necessarily in a room, but that they can go watch. They've got a weight room. Now the only reason I know this is I had a young man that used to like to be in prison. And I only say that because every time he got out, he'd do something to get himself caught again and put back in. But this was not like that. The cell was only large enough for them to basically sit in. She couldn't lay out on the floor. And by most times, they would take and make them kneel down on the floor and squat down and sit on her ankles. All day long. Think life is tough? It was tough. They finally took in after a couple of years of this hard labor, they brought her out and set her before a judge, and she thought, wow, this is an unheard of thing. This is a miracle. Normally they don't worry about a judge, and they're not worried about equality, and they're not worried about being fair. So she goes before the judge, and she was talking to the judge, and the judge was asking her questions, and in the courtroom was her husband. And the judge looks over at the husband, and he says to him, "Do you want to divorce her?" Tears started swelling up in his eyes because, no, he loved her. But he knew that if he said, "No, I don't want a divorce," that they'd come and persecute him and the children also. Now you say, what's a crime? What did she do? They caught her with a Bible. And see, being a Christian was not permitted. And so therefore, she'd gone through all this imprisonment because she claimed to be a Christian. We don't know what it's like to be persecuted for our religious beliefs. We think we got it hard when maybe we have trouble at our job because they won't let us have Sabbaths off and we're afraid to make a stand. Let me tell you, that isn't persecution. And so here, prisoner 42, it was really hard to listen when the man, her husband, said, "Yes, I'd like a divorce." It wasn't that he really wanted a divorce. He loved her, but he knew that it would bring persecution upon his children and upon him. And yet, even though she understood that, it didn't make it any easier. So I look at what's going on around this world. I was looking up, and they listed in the internet the 50 top countries where there's religious persecution. And of course, North Korea is at the top of it. Now, praise the Lord, the United States isn't on that list. But according to the Bible, at some time it will be. Amen? How long will the door be opened that is opened before us today? How long will we be able to give Bible studies freely? How long will we be able to share our faith? How long will we be able to mail out flyers or take a flyer to someone and invite them to come to evangelistic meetings? How long are we going to be able to preach Daniel and Revelation? The answer is none of us know. Come on, amen? None of us know. But we do know at the present time we do have that opportunity. And I hope you're taking advantage of that opportunity by taking a flyer and going and inviting somebody. And I hope that you will invite them to come and sit with you. For why would anybody come to something you weren't planning on coming to yourself? Come on, amen? And yet it's amazing to me when we hold meetings like this about how many things we allow to get into our schedule. Well, I got to work. Well, I'm tired. Well, us guys get together every week and you know, I can't miss that just to come to meetings. We have more excuses than Carter's got liver pills, if I can put it that way. We do not appreciate the sharing of prophecy the way I think we ought to. And listen, I'm not scolding. I'm just simply trying to say that if we do not prioritize our time, it's always amazing to me what we plan to do while something like this is going on at the church. I want to tell you this. We don't know how many times we're going to be able to have a series of meetings like this. And I would dare say that you and I, okay, all of us together, don't understand the book of Daniel and Revelation the way we need to. If that's the case, see, if you do, if you already know everything about Daniel and Revelation, that's wonderful, because you ought to start taking a few nights. Come on, amen? If you don't know it well enough to share it, then you don't know it well enough to be gone and miss it. And if you know it well enough to share it, then by the Lord's sake, we will take and we will put you in, and you can begin to share that. Because I believe that it's time we share our faith. Remember this 10 days of prayer that we just went through. Part of the issue was letting go of self and our agenda, letting the Holy Spirit fill our hearts and our minds so that Christ can take and use us. And then it's not about what you know, it's about who you know. You know Jesus, and He says He will make up every deficiency that you have, which means you don't have to say, "I can't do this," or "I don't know this." What you have to do is say, "Lord, I'm willing." You know, it was after Isaiah saw his unworthiness. He saw the holiness of God, and he looked at himself, and he says, "Listen, I'm undone." And God purged his heart because he was able to be reached at that time. And then when the call came out, "Who can I send? Who can go before us?" And he says, "Here am I, send me." That ought to be the prayer of every one of us coming out of this week of prayer is, "Lord, here am I, send me. Give me divine appointments. Help me to know who to talk to. Who to invite." And Lord, help me to clear my deck so that we can take and together explore the books of Daniel and Revelation. If you don't have one of these, they're on the personal ministries counter and they're on your way out on the heater register over there. Be sure and take some that you can take in hand to people. We got plenty more. And I want us to take and realize that the day in which we live, at some point in time, the door isn't going to be open anymore. Take your Bibles. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. If you don't know where it's at, go to the New Testament, find Matthew. Go to the right, you got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, your four Gospels. Then you have Acts and then Romans. And then you have 1 Corinthians. And I want 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And I'd like verse 8. First Corinthians chapter 16. And starting with verse 8. If you're there, please say amen. Amen. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great what? Door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many what? Adversaries. What's he saying? Well, I printed that out, checked it out with different translations. The New International says for verse 19 or verse 9, a great door of effective work has opened. The New Living Translation says, a wide open door for a great work here. And the New American Standard Version says, a wide door for effective service has opened. He's saying, I'm going to stay here and I'm going to work in Ephesus. Why? Because the door is open. There's a great work to be done, but there's a door that is open. Who opens that door? Jesus Christ opens that door. And so you begin to look at what Paul is saying. He's saying, listen, there's a lot of work to be done here, but the people are willing, and the Lord has opened a door so that we can do a work in sharing the gospel with the people. Go look at another one with me. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, just over a couple pages. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and notice with me, in verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and in verse 11. The Bible says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his what? Devices. Furthermore, verse 12, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, a what? A door was opened unto me of the Lord. What's he saying? I came to Troas, and what happened? God opened a door. A door to do what? To play golf? Okay, work. Make tents? To preach the mystery of Christ. Preach how a man, how a God could leave, take on human form, live and die on this earth and go back to heaven for you and me. That's a mystery we'll maybe never understand. But we'll for sure be studying it throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity, how it is that Christ was willing to come and die for you and me. But he says the door was open. Let's look at another one. Go with me to Acts chapter 14. Go backwards. You got to go through 1 Corinthians, and then you got to go through Romans. And then you want to come to Acts chapter 14. And I want to come to verse 26. Acts chapter 14, verse 26. The Bible says, thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And then when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had what? Opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. So once again, what are you finding? Paul says God opened a door. He opened it in Troas. He opened it in Ephesus. He opened it in the place he is now. Antioch, thank you. So, you know, here it is that you begin to find that he's saying, listen, when we go forward to do a work for God, God opens the door. Amen? You see, so many times, did you notice that first text, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9, it finishes that there's many adversaries. If you think sharing the gospel is going to be easy, you're wrong. You think everybody's just going to fall in love with it? You're wrong. But I will tell you this, God has honest souls out there that are searching for Bible truth. Amen? No longer are we going to simply follow the dictates of a church. No longer are they willing to follow just their pastor. They want to thus saith the Lord, and they want to walk and stand upon a thus saith the Lord. And I say, hallelujah. Amen? It's time that people wake up and realize that not everything done in the banner of Christianity is what Christ would have them to do. But God opens doors sometimes that we don't even know how he opens. I remember I was doing a series down in Centerville. It's in lower Michigan. And we were going through the series. We were about halfway through. And the night was the mark of the beast. Now, you know, a lot of times we'll have people that will walk in on the mark of the beast simply because I give my schedule out ahead of time, and some people are just plain curious about what I'm going to preach about the mark of the beast. And whenever I scan the audience and I see we've got new people that haven't been there, and I'm assuming they're here just to hear what my take is on the mark of the beast, I always back up and give a little bit of foundation. Because I want to be able to have them be able to understand when it comes to that issue. And so here I am, I look out and I see this young man, he's probably in his 30s, and I look there and I think, I don't know what his background is, I don't know who he is, so I do the same thing. I give some background, I give some history, I walk him through some other texts that I wouldn't normally, if I wouldn't have gone through, had he not been new. After the meeting, I found out a little bit more about him. He had been studying the Bible with an Adventist about 6 months before that, but schedules got busy, they quit, and they hadn't picked it back up. So he had a little bit of foundation, but he didn't have a lot. And still, I'm thinking that's a pretty tough subject to just come in on. You know, I remember one time I was in another district, and I preached at both churches, and I walked in and at the second church, and their PA booth was right in the back, and so I'd walk through the doors, and I'd stop by there, and they'd give me my body pack, and I'd put that on, and I scanned the audience, and I saw that over here, now to you guys, it'd be over there, right where Doug's sitting. They had about 6-8 people there that I didn't recognize. Now, that wasn't an uncommon thing because we did a television program, and with that television program, we had people quite frequently that would walk in. I didn't recognize them. I didn't know them. And on the way out, I'd say, "Hi, I'm Pastor Terry Nelson." They'd say, "Yeah, we know." I'd say, "How do you know?" They say, "We watch you every week." I said, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord." So here it is, it's not an uncommon thing, but I'm looking at them and I'm not recognizing them and I'm saying, "Lord, the message you gave me was the United States and Bible prophecy." So I put my body pack on and I walked to the front, and we worked off the front instead of having pews up top. And I kind of knelt my bowed my head and I said, "Lord, I don't know who these people are, but I'm open. We can change the message. What do you want me to preach?" And he said to me, "I gave you a message." And I said, well, yeah, Lord, but you know, those people in the back, I don't know who they are, and they may not be ready for this. I mean, United States and Bible Prophecy, I'm going to nail some stuff down. So if you want me to preach something different, I'm okay with that. What do you want me to preach? Now, God and I are having this little conversation while I'm sitting on the front pew. And the preliminaries are going on as they always do. And nobody knows the battle that I'm having there. And God says to me the second time, he says, I gave you a message. And so I said, but are you really want me to preach that message? I mean, I can do something different. What, you sure? What do you want me to do? And he said, just as plain as if he was sitting next to me, I gave you the message. Preach it. And I said to him, okay, it's your people, your word, I'll preach it. And I nailed it down. Not me, but God through me nailed it down. And afterwards, I wasn't sure what the reaction was going to be. But I wasn't worried about it, because when you do what God wants you to do, you don't have to worry about those things. Amen? He could have changed that message if he thought it was going to be too much, but I want you to understand something. God is never blindsided. Come on, amen? He knew they were coming, and he knew what he wanted them to hear. Well, I can tell you what, on the way out of church, I had an elder stop me. And that elder was mad. I mean, really mad. And he said to me, he says, Pastor, aren't you able to switch your sermon? I said, well, of course I'm able to switch my sermon. Didn't you realize we had guests here today? I said, yeah, I realized we had guests here today. Then why didn't you switch your sermon? And I looked at him and I said, well, I asked God if he wanted me to do that, and he said no. The guy said, oh. He turned around and walked away. Then I went over to this family. I went over here. They were still sitting in their pews, and I went over here, and I introduced myself to them. And they introduced themselves to me. And the father looked at me, and he said, Pastor, that's just what we needed to hear. I said, well, praise the Lord. God always works that way. Anyways, we chatted for a few minutes, and I walked away, and I, John, I said to him, I said, Lord, what'd they hear? Because to the person that wasn't ready for it, it probably would have been offensive. But when God opens your heart and you let him in, then you want to hear what God's message is. And then you want to apply it to your life. And this family was looking, and they were searching, and they wanted to know the truth. And I'm just saying, hallelujah. Amen? That's kind of like it was with Luke. Luke wanted to take in know the truth, but he'd been so busy with his schedule and with work, and he owned his own business and doing some things, that he just didn't have time to study the Bible. But then he gets this flyer in the mail. Amen? The problem is we didn't send him to his zip code. Come on, someone say amen. He got a handbill through the mail that we didn't send to. But you know what? God knew how to get that mailer to the right door. Amen? I don't know how he worked it all out, but I can tell you the living proof is he showed up because he got a handbill in the mail in a zip code we didn't mail anything to. Yeah, God is awesome. God is awesome. He finished up those series of meetings. We studied for a while. He became baptized. And he actually became a missionary, because my second church was much smaller. And we really needed some help. So I asked Luke. I said, well, you ready to be a missionary? He said, absolutely. I said, well, we need some help at our other church here. how would you like to come to Macedonia and help me? And he said, I'd be happy to do that. I said, just give me a year. He said, I'll do it. Well, he's still there. He's a deacon. He's active. He's going out trying to win souls, sharing his faith, giving Bible studies. I tell you, begin to look at it, and God has opened a door, and when he opens a door, you can't shut it. Amen? But I will tell you, at some point in time, he's going to shut the door. Amen? He's going to shut the door. Take your Bibles and go with me to Colossians chapter 4. You're next. Go to the right. You got Romans. Then you have 1 and 2 Corinthians. Then you have the four little books, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And I want Colossians chapter 4. And I'd like verse 2. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. The Bible says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of what? Utterance. What does that word mean? Talking, speaking. To speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. So what is Paul saying? Pray that God will open the door for us to be able to speak the truth. Amen? And I can tell you what, we ought to be praying that prayer. Even though we live in free America, I'll tell you what, God has to prepare the hearts. And I got to tell you, when we do evangelism, I used to pray when I first started, Lord, pack the place. I'd like to hold three services. But then my prayer became much more specific. And I said, Lord, give me honest souls. Give me souls, even if they're one or two or three, give me souls that honestly want to learn the truth. Give me souls that love you enough that they're willing to study it out and make a decision on truth. Give me souls that are honest with themselves and with you. Bring those people that we may study together and learn together. And God has done that. Amen? But one of the things that I found, and that is the fact that part of that harvest... In fact, let me change that. All of that harvest has to do with you. You being there, you inviting people, you giving Bible studies, you sharing your faith. It's all about what you do, because you are the ones that will bring the people. You are the ones that become responsible to do something that I can't do for you. And so you begin to look at this whole situation of sharing our faith. God tells us through Paul, pray that God will open the door so that we can begin to share our faith. Amen? Are we praying that prayer? Do we even have the meetings as a priority? Or do we have other things to do? It just came at a bad time. You know, one of the things I've found, and that is no matter when we plan evangelism, people always have things to do. In fact, the first 6 years of ministry, I didn't take a vacation. And Nancy one time says to me, she says, well, Terry, she says, I love you, and I just wanted you to know that the kids and I are going to go on vacation, and we'd love for you to come with us. I said, whoa, wait a minute, what are you talking about? She said, well, you know, you just don't take off. All you do is work. I said, well, when's a good time to take vacation? The reality is, in ministry, there is no good time to take vacation. So you just got to remember, you got to minister to your family as well as to the church. And so you began to look at this whole idea of opening a door. God wants to open a door for you and I, but he's saying, how much of a priority is it to you? How much is a priority for me? And you say, well, Pastor, you got to be here. You're preaching it. Yeah, that's true. Now that we've committed, now that we got handbills, but I could have just as easily said, no, let's not do another series of meetings. But how many more times will God have the door opened? And as I said already, if you think you know everything about Daniel and Revelation, you and I need to sit down and talk, because there's a lot I don't know. Maybe you can inform me. I'm still studying, I'm still learning, and God still makes connections for me when I go through these books that I didn't know before. And so I think it's vital that we come together and that we understand His truth. Amen? Go with me to Revelation, last book of the Bible, chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. And notice with me starting in verse 7. Revelation chapter 3, starting with verse 7. The Bible says, to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David. Who is that? That's Jesus. He's the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the amen. He that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. You remember the story of Noah? Noah, God came to Noah and said, I'm going to destroy the world in 120 years, and I want you to build me a boat for the saving of your house. So God gives him the dimensions. It's 450 feet long. It's 75 feet wide. It's 45 feet tall. Has three different levels in it. That's a pretty big boat to build on a grassy meadow. And it's like you look at that and think, how are you going to ever float that boat? But the message was, and that's why the miracle was all the greater, because the message was, is God is going to destroy this earth by a flood. You need to get on the boat. What would have happened had he not built the boat? What would have happened had he not gotten on the boat? Not only would he be destroyed, but his family would have been destroyed. I want you to understand, when you don't do what God wants you to do, it affects more than just you. And so here it is that he builds this boat. And I can only picture for a moment what it was preaching that last sermon, the last bolt, the last nut, the last nail, the last pitch of mud, the last everything was done. The ark was finished. It was completed. And Noah begins to preach his heart out. He knows it's time to enter the ark. And he's saying, please, come on this ark. This world is going to be destroyed by a flood. He's saying that on a cloudless day with full sunshine. And because the people were laughing at him, God did another miracle. He brought all the animals. Now, I tell you, if that wasn't something to see, all the animals coming out of the wood, all the birds coming, perfect order as God led them right up through, right up the ramp, and right into the ark, and the sons of Noah put them in the pens or corrals or stalls, as it would be. And Noah makes one more appeal. One more. And they laughed at him. But you can only imagine what it was like when all of a sudden God says to Noah, get your family on the ark. Get on the ark. And Noah, his three sons, and all of their wives got on the ark. And all of a sudden, the door began to close. Now, Noah wasn't closing that door. God closed that door, and once it was closed, it was done. It was not opened again until after the flood, and God opened the door. Noah could not get that door open. Amen? Not that he tried. I'm just simply saying to you that when God shuts something, it's shut. And when he opens something, it's open. But I'll tell you, while you have the opportunity and you have an open door, take advantage of it. And listen, the last thing that you want to do is say, well, I don't want to offend my neighbor. I don't want him to think I'm being religious or I'm running down his religion. Listen to me. I pray for holy boldness to be able to speak the truth in love. But I'll tell you what, I don't think it's going to go over very well if when it all is said and done, and if you make it to heaven, and after the 1,000 years when the wicked are raised, and there you are up on that wall, and you see your neighbor down there, and your neighbor sees you and says, hey, why didn't you tell me? You think it's going to sound very good at that point in time for you to say, well, I didn't really want to offend you. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. We need to understand for our own destiny. We need to understand the truth. We need to understand for our own destiny how it is that the prophecies are unfolding before our very eyes and be willing to share that. We need to be ready for Jesus to come. Amen? And that's only going to happen as you open your heart, you surrender to Him, you study, you pray, that communication is open, you're growing. Do you remember as we went through this week of prayer, how many times God says we need to spend our time with Him? He said every year you need to at least meet me at Easter. Is that what He said? Come on, Benj, what did He say? How often? Daily. That's absolutely right. Daily we need to pray. Daily we need to study. Daily we need to surrender our heart. Daily we need to walk with Him. And daily we need to pray that God will open the door for us to share our faith. And God will answer that prayer. At our last church here that I just came from, there was a testimony during our praise and prayer request. And she said, be careful what you ask for. She said, I made a vow to God that I would share Him in some way every single day. If I can't meet somebody, because she doesn't always get out, she said, I can make a phone call. I can send a card or a letter. But I can do something to encourage people, to point them in the right direction. And I committed to doing that daily. She said, man, this has been a busy week. I've gotten 3 or 4 phone calls a day. Now, I want you to know she was shouting hallelujah because she had an opportunity to witness and share her faith, but it was all because she made a commitment to God. Amen? So you began to look at it and realize that when God opens a door, you don't have to worry about all those adversaries that are against you because we have them. I knew it was evangelism time. Yesterday, I went down to the basement. Well, 2 weeks ago, I came home on a Saturday night to a cold house. So I began to look, and I came to the conclusion we got a boiler system, hot water heat, and the pump had gone bad because the actual boiler itself would fire up and then go back off because it was already up to temperature. But nothing was moving the water around. So I said, it's got to be the pump. And there was one wire that was actually had come loose, but it was right next to where it was attached. And when I called somebody and they had the tech call me back, because we're talking about 11 o'clock on a Saturday night. And I said, well, you know, are you open to coming out? And he said, well, yeah, I could. He said, but, you know, if you think you can get by till tomorrow. And I said, well, I can keep trying. It's, it's a little chilly. And anyways, I told him what I'd done. He said, you probably wrecked it. Now, I didn't bother saying to him, listen, I'm not a boiler expert, but I work with wires all the time. This isn't my first rodeo. Hello. But I didn't say that. Jeff, you'll be proud of me. I knew he was tired. He didn't really want to come out. And he said, well, I'll tell you what, you just go and see if you can get a hold of anybody else that's closer to you. Because I got about a 45-minute drive. That's what I said. I said, well, okay. He said, well, if you can't get a hold of somebody, call me back. Well, I tried several places, and they either weren't available, wouldn't come, or didn't work on boiler systems. So I called him back. And I said to him, I said, well, I couldn't get a hold of anybody. He said, who all'd you call? So I gave him a rundown of who all I called. He said, all right, let me get dressed. I said, well, I'm telling you, do you have this pump? There's no need to come out. I'm telling you, I believe it's the pump, the circulating pump, or whatever they call the thing. And he said, well, yeah. I got him the name and number, model number and all that. He said, yeah, I got one of those on the truck. I said, okay. But he said, I think it may not be that. It may be this panel. I forget what he called it because he thinks I shorted it out. So he takes and he gets dressed and he comes. And he shows up in about half an hour. That includes dressing time. So he's a little closer than what he thought. So all of a sudden there's a knock on the door. He comes and he fixes this. He comes down and looks at it and checks it out. And I showed him what I'd done. And it was just goes to the other zones. It's not really a big deal. And he tested it out, looked at it, and he says, well, I think you got a bad pump. And I said, I think it's a good conclusion. So remember, I know things are going to fall apart because it's evangelism time. I mean, how many times have I said that to you folks? Plan on the hot water heater blowing up, the car quitting, whatever the case may be. And so we got that fixed, got warm that night. Yesterday I walked down into the basement. When I walked down to the basement, our laundry room is right across kitty corners. You come down the stairs and it's standing in water. I'm saying, okay, it's evangelism time. So I grabbed a bunch of towels and threw it on the floor and they were sopping that up, but it was coming out faster than I could sop it up. So I went and got my shop back and brought it in and I began to suck it up. And I could see it was the hot water heater. And it was just running out of the bottom of the hot water heater. And so we took, and here we are on Friday. Of course, everybody wants to quit and go home and have a weekend. Do you think I could get a hold of anybody that had time to come and change out a water heater? No. And they said, well, if you can wait till next week. I said, well, I go to church tomorrow, and I'd kind of like to take a shower before I go. Anyways, nobody had one. Well, I shouldn't say nobody had one. Nobody had the time to come put one in. So I told Nancy, I said, well, I guess we're going to contact Nelson Plumbing. And I went down to Home Depot and bought a hot water heater and came back and installed it. Now, I'm not telling you that so you can call me if your hot water heater breaks. I'm simply sharing with you, I understand the time zone we're living in. And I know the devil is an adversary, he's going to do everything he can to distract you and me. He's going to stop you. If he can get you to get two free tickets to go to Jamaica for 2 weeks, then he'll get them to you because you know why? 2 weeks out of the meetings are going to be 2 weeks you don't understand some things. He's gonna maybe cause you to lose your job, or maybe he's going to take and blow up your hot water heater, and you're going to get disgusted enough and you're just going to quit. I want you to understand, please, I'm telling you ahead of time. Jesus used to say, I'm telling you this so that when it happens, you will know. Amen? Things are going to happen. You can know that. Both to you and to the people that you are trying to invite and to me. And that's okay. We know. We all smiled. We looked at ourselves, Bethany, Nancy, and I. We looked at ourselves and we said, well, it's evangelism time. Anything that can go wrong will go wrong. But I want you to understand that he that is with us is greater than he that is in the world. Amen? Amen. I I'll tell you what, God is wanting to open a door. I want to read you a quote. It comes from 6T. The third angel's message is to be given with what? Power. The power of the proclamation of the first and second messages is to be intensified in the third. In the Revelation, John says that the heavenly messenger who unites with the third angel, I saw another angel come down from heaven having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory, and he cried mightily with a strong voice. What does that mean? Okay, the same as loud, mighty, strong, all meaning the same thing. And that is, it is to be proclaimed around the world. We are in danger of giving the third angel's message in so indefinite a manner that it does not impress the people. So we might believe it, but we don't want to share all this stuff that's, you know, makes people mad. Because what is the third angel's message? Well, it is. The third angel's message is a warning not to worship the beast and his image. And of course, culminates with the call to come out of her, my people. I want you to understand something, that it's easier to talk about the Sabbath, and Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. But when you come to the third angel's message, the first and second are all put in there with, you've got a choice over worship, a choice over who your God is, because it's between Christ and it's Satan. And we need to understand that if we don't choose, we've chosen not to. And we need to also understand that Jesus is calling and knocking at the door of your heart and the heart of the people around us to know the truth. But we got to make sure that we don't do it in an indefinite manner, that we make it generic, that we water it down. So let me tell you, there's a lot of, I was just talking to a church today, this week. And I said to them, the messages that your pastor is preaching need to go on 3ABN. And they need to go around the world. Well, we're streaming. I said, yeah, you're streaming, but with one camera. And you really need to take a look at what your production looks like. I said, I've watched you. And I'd come down at the pastor's request. Now, the head of the AV, Jeremy, you can appreciate this. The head of the AV, I think he was a little miffed that they'd asked me to come down. We got this under control, and he started sharing with me what his dream was and his plan was, and he had no vision to get his pastor's messages out on television. In fact, his vision was actually a different direction. He wanted to start an online Bible Answers Live type program. And I guess all I'm trying to share with you is the fact that not everybody has the same goals and vision. And we have to make a choice as to what we do. But when we have messages that are not watered down and we're able to get them out, I personally believe, and I've said this, I haven't changed my tune, we need to use every possibility of ways to get out the truth. I'm proud of you for streaming. Well, we're not going to reach everybody. We have a presence out there. And we have the ability to have God lead people to that site so they can watch, they can hear, they can listen, and they can make changes in their life. We got to make sure that we don't make such an indefinite manner that it does not impress the people. So many other interests are brought into that very message, which should be proclaimed with power, becomes tame and what? Voiceless. At our camp meetings, a mistake has been made. The Sabbath question has been touched upon, but has not been presented as a great test for this time. While the churches profess to believe in Christ, they are violating the law which Christ himself proclaimed from Sinai. The Lord bids us, show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. The trumpet is to give a what? Certain sound. You probably didn't know I could do this. What song was that? It was a loud sound. Annoying would probably fit well. The thing that I want you to see is, what does it mean to give a certain sound? See, I could have any one of our pianists come up here and they could take and play you a beautiful melody. I can't do that. I don't know that I can even pick out a tune right now. All I'm trying to tell you is this. I sang over at Claire with three other people. We did a quartet. And of course, they're singing parts. Now, I don't know how to sing parts. So I got to take the melody. And so she goes over there and she says, I don't know what she did, but anyways, she hit four notes. And they all went, and I'm thinking, Anyway, she gave the note that we were supposed to start on. That's a good thing, right? What if she'd given us the wrong note? Now, all I'm trying to bring out here is that the gospel has to have a certain sound. And we can't rely on everybody else to make that sound. God is calling you to make that sound. Amen? Take your Bibles with me to Revelation chapter 18. Revelation chapter 18. And I want to start with verse 1. The Bible says, and after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great has fallen, has become the habitation of devils, and a hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have what? Drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. So here you have a message that goes around the world in the very last day, and it's the last day you and I are living in. The call to come out of spiritual confusion. The call to come out of false doctrines. Listen to me, you can't call somebody out of something if you don't have some place for them to go. Come on, amen? Amen. And then God says this in verse 4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. I want you to understand something. In studying the book of Revelation, this is God's last appeal to the human race. The last message. A message you and I need to give. And you're not going to do that if you're not sharing your faith. The call to understand the truth, the call to understand Daniel in Revelation, the call to come out of false doctrine, the call to come out. And notice God says they're my people. But I want you to understand something. God's people will hear his voice. But if we're not spending any time with him every day, we won't hear his voice. I want to read you another quote. Two more and we're going to end. All genuine experience in religion doctrines will bear the impress of Jehovah. All should see the necessity of understanding the truth for themselves. What's the next word? Individually. What does that mean? Personally. I like that. Thank you. We must understand the doctrines that have been studied out carefully And what? Prayerfully. It has been revealed to me that there are among our people a great lack of knowledge in regard to the rise and progress of the third angel's message. Oh, Lord, that's not here. That's those people at the other town. That's the other church. We're diligent. We understand all these things. We can quote it. We dream about it at night. I remember one morning I got up and Nancy said, "Boy, I don't know who you were preaching to, but you were preaching." And I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "Well, you were talking about the lion and the bear and the leopard and this nondescript beast and 10 horns. And I said, "Oh, really?" I don't remember who I was preaching to, but obviously it was on my mind. Are we that way with God? Do we have His truth on our mind? Are we lacking in a knowledge of the third angel's message and the import that it has upon humanity? There's a great need to search the book of what? Daniel and the book of Revelation and learn the text thoroughly, that we may know what is written. I got to tell you something. This series of meetings, I was actually thinking of doing it differently. I was actually thinking of doing it topically, just to give you a change up. But I can tell you what, as I studied and I prayed and in my power time, I'd read texts like this, and the Lord just spoke to me and said, no, the message of the hour, they need to understand prophecy and they need to understand the books of Daniel and Revelation. Brethren, the Lord calls for co-partnership in His work. He desires us to enlist our interest in His cause, as Daniel did. We should receive great benefit. Great what? Benefit from a study of the book of Daniel and in connection with what? Revelation. How important does that become for you and me? I want you to tell you it's vital. Daniel studied the prophecies. He earnestly sought to know their meaning. He prayed and fasted for heavenly light, and the glory of God was revealed to him in even greater measure than he could endure. You think God will do something for Daniel he won't do for you? I don't think so. We are in equal need of a divine illumination. God has called us to give the last message of warning to the world. There will be an open door. Voices heard on every side to divert the attention of God's people with new theories. Is that happening today? Absolutely. We need to give the trumpet a certain sound. We do not have realize what is before us. If the books of Daniel and the Revelation were studied with earnest prayer, we should have a better knowledge of the perils of the last day and would be better prepared for the work before us. We should be prepared to unite with Christ and to work in His lines. I got to tell you something. We're about to embark on another journey. A journey of prophecy. A journey of the books of Daniel and Revelation. And I hope that you'll be praying for me as I present it. I pray that you'll be praying for you, that your hearts will be open to understand it. And I pray that God will use you to reach out to your neighbors and your friends, because we don't know how many more times we're going to have the opportunity to do this. And you can walk out of here and say, "Oh, nice sermon, Pastor," and leave and say, "Boy, he's on a hobby horse." I'm not on a hobby horse. We're spending a lot of money to do a series of meetings and proclaim the gospel. And I just want to encourage you, pray about what your role will be and what you can do, not only in being here, but in sharing it with others. How many of you would like to tell God, "I realize the door is open, and I want to be a vessel that you use to reach out to someone. Lord, I want to bring someone to this series of meetings, or maybe two or three or a family. It's okay. But Lord, I'm going to commit to coming. I'm going to commit to being here. I'm going to commit to inviting people. And I'll tell you what, not everybody you invite comes. So I want you to understand, don't stay home if God doesn't send the people that you asked. Your job's to ask. He's got to move the hearts to come. But I can promise you that if it's not important enough for you to come, why would they come? So how many of you would like to tell Jesus, I'd like to make a commitment that I'm going to be active and I want to learn through this series of meetings and I want to share with others this series of meetings. If you want to do that, I want to invite you to stand with God, or stand with me right now before God. Our dear, kind Heavenly Father, we're on our feet because, Lord, we know we're running out of time, and yet you've given us an open door, a door to be ready, a door to share your love with others, a door to invite people to this meeting, a door to do your work. And while it's open, Lord, help us to be faithful. Oh, Lord, we love you so much. Thank you for being here and tabernacling with your people. Thank you for your love that you've bestowed upon us. And thank you for being willing to teach us, for we want to know your truth. Bless us now today. In Jesus' precious name, amen.